The Money Show.
Small business.
So first thing this morning, I sent Pavlo Fotidis a message, and it went something along the lines of, I've told everybody that you're going to be giving guidance tonight on The Money Show about rebuilding. And Pavlo came back immediately and he said, that's exactly what I was going to do. And so I'm so delighted because big companies, big franchise groups, all talking recovery and rebuilding. Jaco Marie telling us this evening how important it is going to be for South African companies to do precisely that. But I am seeing lots of private business people capitulate. I'm seeing lots of people saying this far and no further. And it's understandable. It's understandable. I mean, you spend 5 or 6 years growing a business and slogging your guts out and pouring your heart into it and every other cliche. And you get a note on your phone that your alarm's going off. So you log on to your security cameras only to watch that your premises are being looted and then they're set on fire and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. There's nobody to phone, there's nobody to call. The entire area where your business is being destroyed. People are out on the streets. You want to jump in your car and go to your factory, to your facility, and you know it would be mad to do so because the environment is just so hostile. And Pavlo Fotidis, the founder at Auric Business Accelerator, I just think many, many hundreds of people have found themselves in that position over the last week.
I have, Bruce. And, you know, it just so happened that on Tuesday morning, I was addressing an audience of business owners in Durban. And I just want to give you a sense of what these businesses contribute to society and to South Africa. There were 55 companies. They roughly generate around 2.7 billion rands worth of revenue. They employ, between them all, 5,929 people. And in South Africa, it's a fairly well-worn statistic. For every person you employ, you look after 6 mouths that are fed. So effectively, they're responsible for feeding 35,000 people, just 55 companies. They pay more or less taxes in the last year of around 90 million rand to the state. And Bruce, this represents a social contract that we as entrepreneurs, who are by far the most significant investors in society, in a country, in a land, anywhere, because we mostly start our businesses with no support, absolutely no support, no investment capability. Section 12J has now migrated away. It's been washed away. So there's no startup capital, and we eke out the existence of our businesses until we get some momentum behind that. And we do so, Bruce, in order to provide for ourselves and our families, to provide for our staff, to provide for customers, to provide for suppliers, and to create some sort of fabric that makes for a decent life in a society. And that's called a social contract. And our government continues to not fulfill their side of the bargain. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to be angry and to hold on to that anger, but to recognize that any decisions you make impulsively, driven by anger, will be bad decisions. So as hard as it is right now, take a step back, pause, and reflect on the two or three strategies that you can deploy to reclaim your life and reclaim some sort of semblance of economy back into your world.
Okay, because I mean, so many people who have started businesses are unemployable. They have experienced the joy of working for themselves. They've experienced the freedom of their making their own decisions, plowing their own furrow, if you like. And it'd be incredibly hard to go back to a job. Not that there are that many jobs available. So for many people, they're not necessarily actually have a choice. whether they like it or not, they're going to have to go and start something again. And for many people, they're going to say, you know what, I built a factory. My factory was in an industrial area. That industrial area was invaded and there was nobody there to stop the looters. I'm not going to take that risk to do it again. I want to take my Sasria payment because I was sensible and I had insurance and I ticked the Sasria box. I'm going to take my Sasria payment when it comes and either I'm going to put all that cash in the bank and cut my lifestyle and just live off the dividends, off the interest, or I'm going to invest into something completely different. That part scares me. The last part scares me more than anything else, because people are possibly get to start trying things that they aren't good at or don't have experience in, or you know, there's that risk that people deviate from what they were doing before, which was probably good and successful.
So, Bruce, look, I've been having very different conversations, and these conversations are being motivated by extreme dismay, extreme anger, and all of it's been perpetuated. This was the straw that broke the camel's back for many, many business owners. And a lot of people have been speaking to me about, that's it. I have no faith in this country. I'm immigrating. I'm not investing a cent further. Now, if we were talking about these 55 companies, should they do that, effectively 35,000 people will pay the price. The other option is to rebuild. And I just want to say this. You know, I know a lot of people who have immigrated, who've attempted to start new lives in different places. And what I can say, Bruce, is that by far the majority of them have paid a significant price. It is a massive sacrifice and it comes at a tremendous cost. And it might well benefit the next generation. It certainly doesn't benefit you right now. So the one option is to say, okay, well, I'm going to immigrate, then make your plans and figure it out. But it is a very, very, very hard road. The other choice is to rebuild. It also comes at a cost. It also comes at tremendous sacrifice, but it's going to give you more options down the line. And I want to talk about a strategy where if your business has been burnt to the ground and everything you have built has been eroded, there is a strategy that will let you have your cake and eat it. And as an entrepreneur, we need to look at the world like that. We need to turn this anger into positive, inspired action. And the first thing we need to understand, if we're going to opt for that road, is you need to understand the deal in South Africa. And the deal is that government will continue to fail business. We have no economic policy. They have no understanding of how we come about, how we operate, how we function. Our systems are corrupted. We've got weak leadership. And they struggle to protect property. We've seen that now. It's been like
you're not a marketer now, are you, Pavlo? You're not a public relations professional in this particular sphere, because that's the brutal reality. I wish that it would change, but it hasn't changed for years.
It hasn't changed for years, and it's unlikely to ever change. If it does, fantastic. But let's work on the premise that it's unlikely to change. So that's the platform against which we're going to build a business to regenerate your economy, to give you a great lifestyle, to generate your wealth, and to have a positive impact on society. If you start from that position, it will change the way you look at how you build your business, because building your business in this environment and growing it and building it into a successful entity is absolutely 100% possible. And the first step, Bruce, for so long as you're working from that premise, is to focus and care about only what you have control over. And what you have control over is you and your behavior and your family. Now, you need to create economy again, because if government doesn't care, no one else does. You're in control of your own future if you control and focus only on what you have control over. And to get it right, you need to start your business. But to get the business going, you need to extend your circle of focus and care, because you need to then incorporate your customers and your team. And the stories I'm hearing about how employees in these businesses have gone by far more than their extra mile to work with these small business owners to reclaim the business, to secure their economy and secure their jobs, to make a difference and try and carry some of the load, has been inspiring and remarkable. Not everyone in this country is rotten. There are some really exceptional people.
No. Hold on a second. Let's just be absolutely clear on that. Not everyone is rotten. No, a tiny proportion of the country is rotten. A larger proportion is desperate and is open to being exploited. But the vast majority are brilliant, like-minded individuals who want a better future.
Who want a better future but never vote for a better future, Bruce. And that's also part of our reality.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, a wish without a plan or without action is simply hope. And I think we must ignore hope, because you can't work with it. So if you extend your focus and care from your family, from yourself, to your team and to your customers, the way that you need to build a business in South Africa is to build it at a global standard. And I know we're not competing at a global standard because we don't feature in the global economy on any level that's worth counting. But if you set your standards at a global standard, which is a highly competitive, vicious market, it means you're going to build a business that will have relevance playing into that global market. And the way to get that right is to work what you have, work with what you have in South Africa. We've got a weak currency, and that currency allows us to service clients in foreign markets at a cost benefit, at a cost advantage. I'm seeing it more and more and more, where South African businesses in the mid-tier space, Bruce, are entering into foreign markets, are learning and understanding how to market into those markets, but are servicing on the back of rands. We have skill sets in South Africa, especially in the field of technology, that are at a global standard. So a global standard for your business means that as you build things out, you need to digitize as much as possible through that business. In a restaurant, it means capturing and getting the details of every person who visits your restaurant, because your asset are your customers. It's not your lease. It's nothing else. It's your customers. In a factory, it means the asset over there are your customers. The way you build the business to diversify your risk is you don't have everything on one single site. You follow the German or Japanese model, where you outsource certain components so you have the means of production spread across 3, 4, 5 other businesses in close, tight relationships. And then once you've been able to digitize whatever you can, your processes, your systems, your accreditations to global standards, your accreditations to regulation, the supply chain that you have, the demand chain in terms of how you reach your customers, engage your customers, how you service your customers, put it up into the cloud so that it cannot be destroyed. The computer that gives you access to it can be destroyed, but the intellectual property that makes your business work sits in the cloud. And Bruce, not all businesses can do this 100%. But all businesses can do it at least 15, 20, 30%, despite the fact that there might be very physically embodied businesses like factories and retail stores, but all of us can do it.
It's so important, Pablo. I mean, yeah, there are, will be those who capitulate. There will be those that give up. And that is, I think, inevitable. However, it is about choice, and it's about making choice. Making choices to grow. And I love the stories, and we're seeing so many of them, of communities coming together, protecting the shops, protecting the malls, preventing further looting, and in some cases preventing looting altogether. And the stories of staff members stepping up and saying, actually, we appreciate that we're in this together, is incredibly powerful.
Completely. And Bruce, you know what? I'm sorry to say and put it to you this way, but there is an advantage if you have decided to reinvest and rebuild your business. There is an advantage actually where you will get that growth. And that growth is going to come from three areas. And this is why it's worthwhile doing. Corporates are going to increasingly outsource because they have to. And competitors who are undecided and who've chosen not to reinvest, well, their market space that was theirs can become yours. And then finally, the third element is that, as you've just said, teams, employees, staff members, people who want to work with the companies that they're involved in are open to more change now than ever before, because they know that they've got to lift the game themselves in order for that business to survive and through that secure their own economy. It's an environment of change, and to not capitalize on it, I think, will be a big missed opportunity.
Pablo Fatidis, thank you very much indeed. Pablo Fatidis, the founder at Auric Business Accelerator, the author of several books, including one called Rebuild, Reignite, Reimagine, Redo,
Reset, Rebuild.
Reset, Rebuild, Reignite. Forgive me, Pablo, it's not the title we created on the radio. You went on your own and you expect us to remember it. But that's his book. Thanks, Pablo.